time joining us, on Weird Awakenings, we discuss anomalous phenomena, the strange, the curious, the extraordinary, the bizarre. Throw in the occasional conspiracy theory, and you get us. Cecil, Hadley, Stephen, Tully, and myself, Morgana, just a few of the weird kids. Weird Awakenings is a part of the Weird Realities Network. Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to our channels. We can be found at linktree.com/weirdrealities. That's weird with a Y. Okay, gang, grab those tinfoil hats and let's get weird. Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining us. I have no idea what that sound is. Can y'all hear that?
Cecil was the last one to join.
It may be me.
You don't have any audio, Cecil.
I know, I had it on mute to see if it was me.
Oh, am I making noise now?
Oh, yep. I think it is, Stephen.
It's me?
Because when you're talking, it's real scratchy, too.
I may have to go ahead and change things now.
try just unplugging. Maybe it was something with the USB or something.
Yeah. Okay.
I like to thank my beard for coming out.
Okay. How about now?
Still going.
Still going. I'm going to undo that.
That's crazy because it was coming in perfect before we got started.
Let me back out and see if it's me. Yeah. Y'all go ahead and get started now.
All right. No, it's not. I still hear whatever it is. And like I said, guys, it may be on my end.
I have no idea. That's super strange.
Am I coming in scratchy now? Still?
It's yeah. Whatever it is getting worse. Like it's building. Maybe we should all back out and restart.
Yeah. Okay, let's look. Hey, wait, it went away.
It went away when you muted, Stephen, for some reason.
I back you out and I come back in then.
Okay.
All right, that'll work. Well, okay, so it's
welcome.
Not welcome. That's right. Sorry, guys, having a little bit of technical difficulty. Tonight we are talking about the Onda Shilat, which is Gaelic for the second sight. So
you don't even want to know how I was pronouncing that.
Well, thank
something
goodness
that we did there, last Saturday.
There are Gaelic translators that you hit the button and it goes pronounce now. It will do that for you. So, hey, Linda.
Hey, Linda.
So that is exactly how I found out how to pronounce it. It was not because I'm good at Gaelic. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming. All right, so the Onda Shilat translates into the two sights, and it refers to the inner seeing into the spirit world, as well as our normal sight into the everyday world. And so a lot of people compare it with clairvoyance and visionary practices. It was very popular in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland, and that was actually known as a place of seers. So it was very popular back in that area. So, okay, I hear Stephen.
Yes.
You sound perfect.
You sound great.
Good. I'm good.
I don't know what was going on.
That's crazy.
I feel weird being on here in my business attire. I didn't know.
I'll tell you what you look like after the show.
I've got my watch on, you know, bling, bling.
Look at you being all
very professional.
I've been raw-dogging life today. I've worked 12 hours in red.
Is it a polo or a full button-up?
Oh, no, this is a polo, son.
See, the polo to me is what you order at the Mexican
the George restaurant. Collection.
Yeah. Nerd.
All right. And I'm just going to take 1 second to say you totally butchered that word, because the Spanish word is pollo. Pollo. I have a friend from Colombia, and she corrected a guy one time over that word. So every time somebody mispronounces it, I hear her voice in my head correcting.
You pop the collars on your polo and then go order some polo at the
polo bisco.
I would love to see you with a bow tie on there too. That would just like complete the ensemble.
I took it off. Most people can't see it because of the beard anyway.
Well, you know, we can braid the beard, and then that way you can see the braid and the bow tie. Yeah.
I tell you what, your beard grows. Your beard grows fast. I remember when you accidentally shaved it off, and it's already back to there. So
yeah,
that's true. You know, I've known men that have gone their entire lives and couldn't get a third of that.
Landa says you're a nerd, Cecil.
That's accurate. I'm a nerd with an arsenal. There you go.
All right, guys, the second site.
So is it like in your research, is it strictly people who have two different color eyes?
No, I didn't find anything that said it was strictly that, but you know, that plays into the Assassin's Creed lore that you're speaking of.
Yeah. I think they deal with the two different colored eyes. I think that was the ones that they thought were guaranteed to have the second set.
Because I have known people that have had two different colored eyes.
Yeah, I have a niece that has two different colored eyes. I think one's blue and one's green. I always thought it was because her mom and dad were cousins, but I'm not sure.
I know somebody with that.
It's funny.
I'm sorry, but that's the
truth. It's true.
It's true.
Maybe that was just their excuse. Like, oh, they've got this sign, you know? Like,
they've got the gift.
Because even in, like, huskies with the different colored eyes, it's because of, like, genetic intertwining.
Yep. Well, you know, that can happen with Great Danes, but usually when it's that, it's because of a color miscombination, because that's how you get the deaf and the blind gene in Great Danes, is by breeding on color combinations. Because we rescued one, that one we had for over 13 years, and she was partially blind, partially deaf, and the vets, like, the breeder had no idea what they were doing, you know, because you can totally avoid that trait in Great Danes if you breed them correctly, and it's all based on color. So,
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, but Dalmatians, they have a lot of Dalmatians go deaf.
Yes. So. Yes. And they're it's deaf. Like.
Yes, they're deaf.
Wow. Are born deaf, yeah.
Yeah.
If you ever notice, it's the ones that are, the whiter they are, more apt they are, because it's something about that coloring that makes the follicles grow in the ears. And that's what helps with that happening and everything. Because ours, solid white on one side, and then she had the black coloring on the other, and she was deaf on one side and not on the other.
Really? So we had a Dalmatian. This was probably 20 something years ago. A friend gave us a Dalmatian. He was deaf, and he had got hit by a car when he was a puppy. So he was already blind in one eye. But now the really interesting thing that he would do is that whenever he would lay down to sleep, he would cover his good eye with his paw.
That's now, crazy.
I'm not making this up, but he would really do it. And you could yell at him all you wanted, he never heard you. But if he ever saw you and he saw you motioning, I mean, he would come to you. So
yeah, that's ours. She understood hand signals as well as she did commands. Mm-hmm. Because, like you say, if she was looking at you and you were calling towards her deaf side, she could see those hand signals and everything.
Right.
So it's really cool. Like I said, now she also used it to her advantage, because if you put her outside and she didn't want to be out there, she'd sit on the front porch and bark and bark and bark. And then she'd peep over her shoulder, because there was a window there, to see if we were watching her. until you came and let her in. So yeah, she wasn't stupid. Far from it. She was great.
Right.
So, you know, that was a little bit sideways off of people having the sight with different colors.
Yeah, yeah. It would be us if we stayed on on point.
I did the Rick and Morty thing with our dogs. They give them the middle finger and they think it means I love them.
God, you're terrible.
If you give my little one the middle
always. If I can count on for anything else, it's entertainment is it. Yeah. But no, I did not read that it was just people with mismatched eyes that have the sight.
I don't think that's accurate because I know somebody with mismatched eyes as well, and he don't know shit.
So
he probably knows how much an 8-ball costs, though, doesn't he? I'm sorry.
Hey, that was way down the hole there.
Not very spiritual, but sharp in life skills. I think.
That's funny.
Lord, it is like my face is already red. It's like 80 degrees in this room right now.
Oh, wow.
Because we aren't turning the air on yet, and it's warm, a little bit warmer here today.
Really?
Oh, honey.
It must be warmer there than here.
Wow. It got up in the higher 60s today.
Are you serious? Don't bite me. It was 91 here today.
Well,
my air's been all...
This is like the hottest room in the house. And when it gets 60s outside, it's like, it's probably 82 degrees in this room right now.
It really is hot. Whenever we used to sleep in that room, I had to try to go beyond naked to get
comfortable. Cecil used to sleep upstairs, and now I'm sure it's a lot more comfortable downstairs.
Yeah.
You're saying if I ever come visit, I don't need to sleep in that room because Cecil's been naked in it.
Well, the sheets have been
sitting beyond. Okay. All right. Good deal. Good to know. Nothing personal, Cecil. But yes, my office is the hottest room in my house too, and I have a little fan sitting on the fan floor right next to me, blowing upward. So I do relate to that. How is it that your office and my office got to be the hottest rooms? Because nobody else wanted to use them for any damn thing.
Well,
so
I think my office is the hottest room too, but it's because I have a air traffic controller mounted monitors in here running all the time.
Well, that's part of it. You know, and then it's on the side of the house that the sun comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So the sun's beating all day on this side of the house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense because I do too. I've got enough equipment in here running that it's probably 15 degrees hotter than any other room in the house. So, okay. Second sight.
If we had the second sight, we would have foreseen having too many monitors would create heat issues in our offices.
So what I found interesting is like in this community of people, you read about like very strong sighted people, but also very weak sighted people. So it seems like it's not like how we usually talk where you're either gifted or you're not.
Right.
But Or like even skill levels. This is just something you just had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is something that I found weird about it.
Well, the strong of heart apparently had the ability to linger longer into the visions to actually be able to decipher what they were. But the weak of heart, you know, kind of bounced in and out. And, you know, I don't know if it was a heart, like a strong heart, weak heart issue or will issue, or maybe it just was a training issue, you know.
Well, and I also read, too, that some people, you know, that they would come in, just they would just see it almost in a movie-like way. But some people would use it with other tools like, you know, bones and cards and stuff like that, too.
Well, so also,
I think if you were... Mm-hmm, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and that the ones that were, had the stronger sight didn't need those extra tools, but some would use that as just like almost an amplifier to what they were trying to get out. Yeah.
Kind of like how Nostradamus would look into the bowl.
The black. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Kind of that.
And he would use that, and that would help him focus so he could see. Focus on the vision or whatever he was seeing there.
I wonder if he was actually looking into a bowl or if he was smoking from a bowl.
I wonder which tomato, tomato.
I mean, if he's doing DMT, that could explain a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But no, like in the research, my good friend Cecil did a lot of research for us both this week. But in the research that you sent, Cecil, I was reading that there were multiple different facets that you could get this power from, like either fairy mounds, rituals, you could be born with it. So I guess depending on how you achieved the sight, maybe dictated how strong it was too.
So that makes sense. So someone who was born with it, we had Robin on here a couple of weeks ago. And with the telepathy, mind speak, whatever, however you want to call it. I mean, she's always told me that from the time that she was a small child, she's always been able to do that. So I would say something. It seems like that was something that she was born with, I guess. You know.
Right, right. And, you know, that's and the last few years, okay, I'll go with a lot of people probably since, you know, probably 2018, 19, things are so chaotic that things that I did when I was younger as a just natural thing, I don't do as much anymore. But I can remember, like when my dad passed away, I dreamed for 3 months that it was coming. I knew it was coming because I had done this most of my life, you know, just when something like that was going to happen, I'd start having dreams about it. My daughter was the same way. But, you know, so you have to kind of learn to differentiate between what's just a bad dream and what is something that you're trying to get a message about, you know. Right. I think that was just something as I got older, I just got better at, you know, differentiating. My daughter hated it because it was always bad stuff that she would see and everything, you know. So, and I get it. I totally get it. You know, when you're 13, 14 years old and you're dreaming that, you know, a relative's going to pass away, you know, that's rough.
It's with me on some of that stuff. I remember 2020, like in January or whatever, 2020, and it never would hit me in dreams or anything. But when I would wake up, when I first wake up, it's like
right there,
there, and it's kind of like there's going to be a lot of sadness this year. You know, I knew that some people who were truly going to be missed were going to disappear. And I don't know. Most time I feel like an idiot with all this stuff because I don't understand it fully. You know, it's probably the one that's got me the worst. This is going to be a sad, sad story. And I'm sorry to bring everybody down after we started off so good with jokes and everything. But there was a, this was several years ago, and there was a young woman. She was going to her doctor. She was a couple months away from delivering child number 3, and on her way to the doctor, she decided that she was going to pull out and she was going to pass the vehicle, and the worst case scenario happened. All of them perished in the accident. And I remember being at work that day. And I was just had this overwhelming sadness come over me, and it wouldn't go away. So I remember I finally called my wife and said, "Is everything all right?" And she told me no. And then she told me about that, and it's like, wow, you know. So I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that, but that was the one that sticks out in my mind probably as clear as anything.
The weird feelings, not to that extent. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it was the saddest, darkest day ever. You know, it was terrible.
Yeah. Just those bad feelings you can't shake, you know, And mm-hmm. and like I said, you know, I've done that too, where just something's not sitting right. And right. like Tully said, you know, not necessarily to that extent, but just, you know, within, you know, a few hours or later in the same day, somebody tells you, oh, this happened. And, you know, you say to me that you haven't ever, but how many times have you probably shaken something off and then not associated mm-hmm. with it too? Yeah. Because I know I've said before, you know, anytime I ever ignore that, it comes back and bites me. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just yeah. shake it off.
And I will say, and I don't know, I have a lot of theories on the reasons why these things happen that I'll get into it a little bit. But since COVID, like 2020, I would say that my dreams, like pre-COVID, were very like pointed. Like I would either have dreams about very specific things that would be like future or past related, or mm-hmm. I would have the same reoccurring dream, which was terrible. But I had the same reoccurring dream for years. And since all of this has happened, sometimes it almost feels like I'm in alternate realities when I'm asleep. Like I go to sleep in this world and wake up in another one. Mm-hmm. That's different, but sort of the same, looks a little different. And I found that interesting. And then, you know, of course, the dreams that I've told you guys about that almost is like a out-of-body type deal with some sort of feels like an entity. It's very weird. It's almost just like energy, though. It doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Is it possibly like a guardian that's traveling with you, maybe?
No idea. It doesn't talk. I don't know if it even has the ability to be honest. It just... is this weird sensation of energy.
But I was wondering, I mean, you don't feel anything malevolent or anything like that.
No, it doesn't feel bad. But at times, like when I'm having this interaction, I can feel it in my physical body, even though I'm not there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it almost feels like electric up your spine or something. Mm-hmm. But still not uncomfortable, just... It's almost like your arm being asleep or something, except it's your back, like tingling.
Yeah.
Why do you think? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm kind of not. But why do you think that premonitions are always something bad? Like you never really hear about like a premonition or a soothsayer talking about, hey, you know, this person is going to live an awesome life.
I've heard people say good things.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing, but I think it's kind of Cecil that the oily wheel gets the squeaky wheel gets the oil, that there are good, you know, they say good things and everything, but people just tend to remember the bad stuff. Because I have I've had those feelings of dread. I've had those feelings of it's just going to be a phenomenal day. And
The last thought I was going to throw out there to see if you agreed with Morgana on the subject, or Stephen or Cecil. I feel like and this is very morbid what I'm about to say, I feel like the more family members that I have that are older than me, that are direct, like in my direct bloodline, that pass away, the stronger some of this stuff becomes. Like there's been instances where certain people have passed away that are in my direct bloodline and above me, and when they pass away, I just feel like almost like on a different level.
It's like they're passing that energy to you.
I don't even know how to make an analogy, but it's almost like you've got that, whatever, like Sam calls it, the loosh. Yeah. You got like whatever energy was left has been, you know, passed down.
Mm-hmm. It's just a hair off subject, not really, but to what you're talking about. I started watching this series a couple of days ago. It's Australian. It's called The Clover Man. And it's this Aboriginal person that has the ability to dream walk and contact, like, people that are like in a coma can contact him, and people that are in their dreams and need help can contact him. And when he passes away, he gifted it to his nephew. So, I mean, it's kind of that same thought process, you know. I mean, it could be something that they're intentionally giving because they feel the same, that kinship in you, or it could just be something that as they go, because you're more open to it, that you're drawing it in.
Well, I don't even
I do think you're open to it, whether you consciously believe it or not.
And I don't even know that I think that I, like, it's not that I'm saying that, like, psychic abilities have came to me that way, but just like energy, you know what I mean? Like just overall energy.
Mm-hmm. Right. But yes, I do believe that, you know, that's things like that follow in bloodlines. And I do think it's something that can be pushed down or to the side or to someone else, you know, when you leave, because, you know, it is energy.
And that's something else is that I don't have any kids. So it's kind of like the energy's just sort of stopped here, you know?
That you know of.
That I know of.
We'll be out here one night. He's going to get a knock on the door. Daddy!
But if you think about like how, you know, like Hadley's situation and how strong some of her intuitions and stuff are, you know, she doesn't have any kids. And almost all of her direct bloodline is gone. So it's like all of that culmination of energies with her. You know what I mean?
Right.
In my opinion, like that's just kind of how I think about it.
Yeah. Just see, it's, I don't know. With that right there, I'm not disagreeing with you, what you're saying at all. My grandmother, she had that, you know, with the premonitions and things like that. She had 13 kids, and as far as I know, only a couple of them actually had that. You know,
I believe that.
You know, so that part was really interesting. You know, to me,
I don't know how your all's families are, but like I'm probably the only weird person in my whole family. they you know, my grandma would talk about like some Appalachian woo, and she believed in a lot of like folk woo and stuff like that. But nobody was like formally honing their skills or anything like that.
Right. With me, I don't know. I guess for whatever reason, at an early age, I just didn't. It was all. I always thought it was just a lot of superstition, you know. It's like if somebody, you know, the simple things, you know, like if you open a pocket knife, you need to be the one to close it and stuff like that, you know. I always thought,
give it back the same way you got it.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought, you know, that was superstition, and I just never did go along with a bunch of it when I was a kid.
Well, and it all came from the stuff that we're talking about today. I mean, it all came from Scotland and Ireland. Yeah.
The open pocket knife thing, I take that to an extreme. I still have one in there open, that one that I think Foreman opened and never closed, and I won't close it. And it's probably been a year.
That's so, because you don't have children, otherwise you'd skip over that rule.
Oh, I've got two guns laying on the couch right now.
Right. But you know, but here's the thing. Like, if my husband hands me his knife, if I say, okay, let me have your knife, I hand it back to him exactly like he handed it to me. You know, because that's what I was always told. You hand it back exactly like you got it. You don't close it if they opened it. I mean, so, you know, yeah, it's kind of a superstition, but I've never been cut by one. So, you know, we're going to go with it's probably working. Yeah. But, you know, something. Go ahead.
I can show you scars.
Yeah.
You know, I have a scar too. Yeah. I don't know if I ever told y'all that the first kind of thing I can remember where everybody was like, you're a strange person. It was Christmas, and I was probably like 5 years old, and my aunt had her hands closed, you know, whenever they're like, you know, you got to guess what's in my hand. And I think I had a penny, and she's like, if you give me a penny, you can have what's in my hand, but you have to guess what it is. And I was like, it's a knife. And she opened her hand, and it's a little bitty knife.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's
he forgot to say that was when you first started drinking.
But now, I will tell you something too, though, about that, Cecil. I'm very empathetic. A big thing that I used to have problems with when I was a kid, if another kid was upset and crying, I would get upset and start crying if I was right there with them, you know, right. Because I feel emotion, and I mean, I still do, you know, it's something mm-hmm. that as an adult, I have learned to block out a lot of it and learn to deal with it. But when I was a teenager in my early 20s, I self-medicated like hell to try to cope with it, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, you just, you learn, because some people you could say, I could tell my dad, hey, or I'm having tea with my imaginary friend. I have a picture of myself. He had one of those big those wooden spools that wire came on that I had mm-hmm. set up for tea. And I was having tea with my friend. And my dad came out and asked me what I was doing. And I said, I'm having tea with my friends. And he said, tell me about it. So, he let me talk about it. So there was never any fear of ridicule when I talked to him about those kind of things. Whereas my mom would have said, oh, she's just got an imagination. And it is not a criticism to my mom. It's just two different mindsets of how adults can deal with children when they see things or feel things, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah. He understood, because he had an empathy that I couldn't touch. You know, when everybody else had totally given up on somebody because they were useless or whatever, he could see deep enough into them to see whether they were worth trying to save. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It was amazing to me that, you know, because I'm jaded and I firmly admit that, you know, some people aren't worth my time. And like I said, it's like he could see them on a level that I could not see them. And right. He was rarely ever wrong, you know. But now there are also things, and like you talk about grandmother Tully with the Appalachian mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, to this day, I don't sweep anything out of my house, because you'll sweep the luck out. You take a dustpan and you put it up and you put it in the trash. You know, and my daughter doesn't do it, nor does my ex-daughter-in-law, because they're like, what do you mean I can't sweep outside? Nah, don't you sweep that out in that damn yard here. Dustpan.
Something sweep the I learned recently that is also like an Appalachian folk thing. Apparently people used to put a little bit of cinnamon in your mop water.
Really?
And that was supposed to, they would wait until like the first of every month. Or like I don't know whether they did moon cycles or anything, but they would mop their house with water and cinnamon. And then they said it made it smell good, but also it was supposed to bring good fortune.
Oh, really? Shit, I got to start mm-hmm. doing that.
And they had to get out the first of the month, because that's when the check hit, right? but what you were saying, Morgana, about being a child and seeing all this, that's one way that you can tell if somebody has a second sight, apparently. Is like when a child is crying or laughing at the invisible entities like they do, it's believed that that child has the ability of second sight. And it also comes with the children that's born with the membrane still covering their faces, and even
yeah. plays
the seventh child of a seventh child too. Yes. So like the thing about that though, as a child, it seems like everybody has a more enlightened spirit and is able to see things that other people can't see. It just seems as though it deteriorates over time.
Okay. I think it's they get told that they're wrong, or that, you know, they just have an imagination. They get, you know, do you remember the movie Constantine? She was talking mm-hmm. about yeah. my sister used to talk about what she could see. And then I would tell them, no, I don't see that, even though I did. You know, so it's like you get told you're not seeing that, or, oh, she's just got an imagination and things like that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I was going to tell you, Tully, Carrie said thank you so much for the list of the Appalachian herbal remedies and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. I have a book coming Monday that is about to be lit about that stuff. It's everything.
I've been fortunate recently to, well, I guess the only good thing that came out of Rachel's grandfather passing away is we've been spending a lot more time with her grandmother, who was raised by an Appalachian, you know, woo woman or, you know, witch.
Wise woman, yeah.
But she didn't believe in doctors. And she, like Marty has started telling me all of these recipes that she used to use on the kids growing up. And she's like, it's a wonder we're alive. But
maybe that's why you're alive.
she was teaching me a lot of stuff. And I actually brought back that, it was Appalachian wild ginger.
My God.
I planted some next to my elderberry.
Really?
Hey, if it takes, I need root clippings.
Oh yeah, yep, we can do that.
You know, that's regret I always have is I never recorded like the older folks that I knew that have unfortunately passed away. I'm talking about things like that. Well, this is a perfect opportunity for you to record her.
That's the thing. This is like the last leg of like that whole world.
Yeah.
Like none of our. First of all, I didn't know that many people who were super into that, but where she grew up. It was so isolated, like even back then, like even in the 30s and 40s,
they even wrote a song about it.
Yeah. And this was, I mean, that was really before even coal started booming like it was in the 50s, 60s and 70s.
Right.
So you couldn't go to the doctor. You couldn't go to the store. Like you had to be independent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so cool. And so much of it's being lost because that older generation is dying off, you know, and you just, that knowledge goes with them. I'm like you, Cecil. I can remember my grandmother trying to talk to us about these things when we were, you know, teenagers. I'm like, I don't give a shit about that. And then, you know, I hit my late 20s. And I'm like, crap, I wish she was still around and we could talk about that. You know?
Right.
No. In our defense, when we were teenagers, we were just concerned about going out and getting high with our cousins.
That is not an untrue statement, as sadly as I hate to admit that.
I do too, but it's God's honest.
My favorite, my favorite sentence in Cecil's research is that dogs also, like, when they see something invisible and they start like barking or something.
Yeah,
that it's been contributed to the sight, but also, it's been contributed to horses, cows, and wives.
The wives part will not have to be said out loud, sir.
That was a personal favorite.
I love it. But you know that you say that, not the wife part, since I don't personally have one of those. But I see my dogs when they see something, and they'll either see something and that hair bristles up and everything, or their tail starts wagging and they start doing that puppy talk. And I just sit there and watch them because I think it's amazing, you know, because as long as they're acting that way, I know it's not anything that's going to hurt me, you know, because they, you know, and people need to pay attention to that with animals. Animals rely on instinct. If my dog doesn't like you, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know the difference between them just fussing at you and when they just don't trust you.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that right there, that's the thing I learned, you know, with what I call the neighbors, you know, whenever they would come around, the dogs behave differently. Uh-huh. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yep.
And it is funny if you've ever heard a dog doing a booger bark. They're trying to get their courage up to bark, but they're not going to bark full volume.
Yeah, it's like roof, roof. Hey, do you see that over there? Roof, roof.
I'm shaking, but I'm trying to let you know something's there.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, when my dad passed away, my youngest niece was. She was walking good. So probably about 14, 16 months, something like that. And she may even be 18 months or something. But anyway, they moved into his house probably about 4 or 5 months after he passed away. And my sister-in-law was telling me, you know, I don't know what she's doing, but Savannah's in there in the middle of the night just giggling and laughing and pap all this and pap all that. It's like, you know, she's acting like he's really there. I'm like, did you ever stop and think maybe he is really there? I said, he lived in that house for 30 years. Why would he not still be there? And she sees him. She's young enough that she can see because she hasn't been, you know, taught that it's not okay. So, but yeah. She said, you know, she used to spend 30, 45 minutes every night carrying on conversations with him.
So you all don't know this probably, but my little dog sits here. And while we was talking about dogs having a sight, she sits here next to me. I looked over and she had something in her mouth. I looked down and she was holding this. I'm glad she didn't get into that.
Oh my God.
That would have been the end of her, dude.
I know, right?
You know, it's well, on the floor.
My husband bought one of those for my son and it took him 6 months to get up the nerve to take the challenge. And he likes hot shit.
I was about 17 beers deep one night and it sobered me straight up.
Yeah, he was in bad shape and it was on Facebook Live, I think. So,
Wow. I don't want any of it. Look, my husband likes hot stuff too, y'all. Totally off subject here, but
yeah.
A couple weekends ago, I asked him what he wanted for dinner, and he said, what about scampi? I'm like, oh, no, how about shrimp Diablo? Hadn't made it in a while. I'm like, he's like, okay, that sounds good. So I had no hot peppers at home except jar ones. I like fresh ones for this dish. So I stopped and I bought a bag of serranos because they're usually consistently on heat if you get them from the grocery store. Jalapenos hit or miss. So I bought the serranos. I cut all them up. I put the bell peppers, and he comes inside. He goes, hey, we had two ripe banana peppers out in the greenhouse. You want to put them in? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. Hot bananas. Yes, sir. We're sitting there eating. And usually when I make this kind of dish, I make enough so I can freeze some for him to take to work with him. And he's like, please don't ever make it this hot again. Those two banana peppers kicked it over the edge. I mean, really? They made those serranos taste like bell peppers. They were so damn hot.
If you want to surprise him, we ship you some of these Reapers I have.
He would probably divorce me if I did that to him.
So. Well, Morgana, I mean, just the name of that dish, I mean, devil shrimp, that's enough.
I know. And like I said, I've been making it for years and it is hot, but it's never been so hot that we're both sitting here going, crap, I'm gonna eat this if it kills me. You know?
I'll never forget. I love Tapatio. And I love Louisiana. I love all like vinegar-based hot sauces.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I made the mistake once. There's a trick to marinating chicken. So like if you're making hot wings, you can take your Louisiana and pour it over your chicken wings and let it sit for at least 5 hours, but no more than 8. And the reason I say no more than 8 is it'll dry the chicken out. But what happens is even with Louisiana, like Louisiana's not that hot, but if you let it marinate for 5 or 6 hours, it's gonna have like triple the heat level. Well, I did it with Tapatio, and I'm telling you, I ate one wing, and it was hotter than the blazing wings at B-Dubs. Wow.
That should
give you the hot sauce that Mikey drinks in Tapatio. Those are the two he keeps at the house.
Yeah, that should give me the second sight. That should give me the second sight.
It should have.
See, I don't like the vinegar base. It's the flavor. I like sriracha. Because it doesn't have that vinegar.
Sriracha, it's got too much like salt.
Sriracha's ketchup.
Wasabi. Wasabi is where it's at, Morgana.
I don't like the flavor of wasabi.
Really?
Like the flavor.
Snort you some wasabi.
To any of our people, including Morgana's husband, if you're listening. If you ever get a dish that's way too hot and it's too late and you've already ate it, and you know it's going to be a bad deal, eat a banana.
Banana.
Yeah. It may not help you as far as, like, you're still going to need some Pepto or something like that for your stomach, but mm-hmm. it will help you the next day whenever that's about to wreak havoc in the bathroom.
Or you can just get a bidet, because bidets pull you down.
Come on, ice cream.
I would try your salsa, Landa.
I would too. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Landa, and I love banana peppers are my go-to, sweet and hot. I like sweet banana. I love a hot banana. But for some reason this year, those damn bananas are hot as hell. It's the only thing that I've had grow or that's big enough to pick yet.
I wonder if it has anything to do with, like, the time of year that they start fruiting.
Maybe, because this is one that never died last year. No. This is his second year. Yeah, so that's maybe awesome. That's it.
I love that you have a greenhouse. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. And this one's actually hydro. It's in a water bucket with an aerator in it.
Really?
So, and like I said, every once in a while, it'll look like it's just fixing to drop dead. And then boom, you look up, there's new peppers, new blooms, new leaves, everything. So we just left it in there.
For a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll put nutrients in there every couple of weeks, and just let it go.
So on maybe the flip that side, is it.
Just the hot, from that length of time.
So on the flip side of children, me having the second vision is also it's also said that elderly people who are on the verge of death. The second vision as well, as you know. And I know you've probably had experiences like this, but when my dad was approaching the end, he would see like a room full of people constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when Paul Jim was about to pass away a few weeks ago, Granny Marty said that it sounded like he was going to a governor's ball. Mm-hmm. Said you couldn't understand anything he was saying because he was like talking with his lips still closed, but said that he was like not alone. Mm-hmm. And I'm so used to people just being ripped out of my life, And with him, it's like I was talking to him and he was in good spirits and was praying with people. And, he was a figure in the community that everybody loved. He was a preacher. Mm-hmm. And he was just like talking to God and was at peace. And it's just like he was eating, Long John Silver's is what he wanted us to bring him. So he's eating Long John Silver's. And he's the one person buying Long John Silver's from the cartel. And, you're watching him like he's joking with you. And, he just closes his eyes and starts talking to people. And then he's just gone.
That's weird. Yeah.
It was so weird because, I know that you're the same way, Cecil. So like you're just used to having people just obliterated from your life, and that wasn't the case. I've never been in the scenario like that. It was very strange.
Yeah. Hadley was the same with her mom. When she was getting close, she would have conversations with other people in the room.
So do you think that's just something that when you're approaching the end, that it just bridges you over into the spirit world to prepare you, essentially?
Well, that's how here's where my paranoia kicks in. Like in the when you get into quantum physics and you get into like infinite universe theory, that transition period would be like you starting to gain consciousness as another sentient being at the beginning of another life. So, like, you think about your childhood, it's kind of like the beginning of a video game, right? You just kind of, like, come out of a haze one day and you're conscious. And that's supposed to be, like, that transition period, like, in quantum universe mechanics, we'll say.
Do you remember your first memory, after you bounced out of that haze? I remember mine. I was standing in a sand pit. And I was looking up at the sky, and I was like, that cloud looks like Jesus. Oh yeah, I do. I remember that like very vividly. I was like three, maybe two or three. It's weird.
Well, my first memory, I was in the crib, and I was. It was nighttime, and I'm just looking up, and the moon's peering through.
Well, that doesn't count because he was 13 years old.
But you know, I don't remember like my first human interaction though, which is weird. I just remember being by myself.
Yeah, that's how I was.
Yeah. I remember in detail when my mom went to the hospital to have my brother. I'm 2 years and 10 months older than him, and can tell you what I had on, what she had on, the word for word what my dad said to me, you know. But like that, otherwise, I mean, I have memories from between lives, you know, because I know I've told the two of you, you know, I firmly believe in reincarnation.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I do is because I have memories.
So, which in quantum universe theory, mm-hmm. So like not every like universe is exactly like ours, as we know, like from our Mandela videos and stuff. But some of them are so much different to the nth extreme different that like these kind of lands that we talk about with dragons and, you know, all of these things and other like beings in other universes and, you know, the quantum theory, everything exists. Like everything that could ever be thought of ever is and does and has existed in every single minute details difference in its own universe. And that's where you get, you know, like the Mandelas, like the little nuanced differences. But then you get some really big ones too.
You know, I really like that episode of Supernatural when they bounce them into a parallel universe, and it's apparently ours where they're actually actors.
Yes.
But in their world, ghosts and things are real. It's very highly likely that what you just said is true, and that's a programming to let us know that's probably accurate.
Lord, you're getting me. This whole week, I've spent a considerable amount of time looking into word meanings, like in the English language, and why they chose to call it spelling, and how the English language is basically I forget, maybe it was Enochian or Sumerian. It's one of those ancient languages basically reversed. And because apparently, like back then, they used to reverse words for their spells.
So you're Cajun is what you're saying. Because if you ever heard a coon ass talk. Sorry.
No, you're fine. That's just that was a rabbit hole I was going down this week. It's just the way that they've worded everything for us, like spelling, and like you always growing up, you were taught to be mindful of the words that you say, and then you look into these experiments. You take you boil rice, and you label one jar as love and one jar as hate, and you say hateful things to the hateful jar and loving things to the loving jar. This has been replicated thousands of times. The loving jar will stay white, and the hate jar will start to rot.
Yeah, that's. I've always thought it's real good advice to choose your words carefully.
Yeah.
Be careful what you speak.
Oh, well, yeah. And another thing they've done.
what I'm saying is, I mean, if you're going to pronounce something negative on somebody, you need. I would caution people against that. You know.
Another experiment. Go ahead.
My new boss here. It's been about a month ago. He's only been there about 3 or 4 months, but anyway, he said something about, "Oh my God, it's going to be terrible." I'm like, "You need to stop." He's like, "What?" I'm like, "The universe is listening to you. You need to stop that." And like an hour later, he goes, "You didn't strike me as the overly religious type." I'm like, "I'm not religious at all. Am I spiritual? Yes, I am. But yes, I firmly believe that you're going to get back what you send out. And if it's always negative, then that's the wife you're going to have.
Yeah.
In today's climate, I'm surprised they didn't pull you for a random.
Well, the owner likes me better than him, so it's all good.
So the other experiment that I saw, oh, I clicked that at the same time. I'm sorry. So they took a bunch of different, oh, Lord. I just had brain failure. What's the little circular glass plates?
Fidget spinner.
Petri dishes.
Oh.
Petri.
That's totally different.
You almost had it spot on there, Cecil.
So... I do have a fidget spinner, but no, they took a bunch of those dishes and put water into it. Like all the water was exactly from the same source, and they spoke all of these different phrases to the water and then froze them and looked at the like the flakes and configurations after they were frozen. And there were certain nuances, like one of them went from like, let's do this together, to just the term do it. And when you looked at let's do this together, it almost looked like a group formation of a snowflake. But then when you looked at just do it, it looked desolate, like almost like a meteor had hit or something, like just like it took a bunch of different condescending, like cold terms. And there weren't any like beautiful formations in those, but all the positive ones had these beautiful formations that you would see almost like a snowflake.
Wow.
Groovy.
Oh, I have to look at
spelling.
That sounds cool as hell. Spelling.
Spelling.
I did buy the book that Cecil bought you, though. I haven't sat down and looked at it yet, but
that's a dark book.
Yeah.
You know,
listen, I haven't started. I thumbed through it. Well, I swiped through it, but I haven't sat down and
read it yet. I think we're planning on maybe doing an episode of Where in the Folk on that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Or a couple, six episodes or something. But
we got quite a few books that we need. We got a lot of resource in Humanoids, Breverton's Phantasm, something. And
that's the one that Morgana got.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
It's awesome. The
Phantasmagoria.
Yeah.
That's it. It took me a minute to find it because there are quite a few books with that title for the record.
It is such an in-depth book. It's not just paranormal. It's not just cryptids. It's people and periods and everything else. I was actually going to bring up one of the things that I read in that book about Scotland. They had a group of cannibals that killed over 1,000 people before they were caught.
It wasn't a group. It was a family, wasn't it?
A huge family. It was like 30, 40 people.
Oh, yeah.
They were all like incestuous.
I was going to say they was all hillbillyized.
They were incestuous. They probably had different color eyes, if you know what I mean.
They had the abnormal.
This is in Scotland.
Scotland.
Oh, in Scotland. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And that's why I thought about it for this episode. And they killed so many people. And I think when they finally caught them, they were in cave systems.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And it was like these caves that were full of gold and like spoils from all these people they had killed. They didn't even try them with a jury. They'd literally drug them to like the town square and killed them. Wow. I think they killed the men on site, and then this is really brutal. They, I think, cut the arms and legs off the rest of them and let them bleed out.
It sounds like something Scott's would do.
Let's kill the men just outright so they don't have to suffer, but women, children. See how it is.
Yeah, it's
how
like. It is. Yeah.
Quit laughing so hard, Cecil. You can't argue with me. That's the bad thing.
That's the bad thing about it.
That's just...
Oh,
yeah, that's nutty there. Yeah, Scott's were known for being, having a good, gentle temperament and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did. Wasn't it you that sent me the thing about those nice Vikings that rescued that loot from the dead monks?
I mean, they rescued all the gold and stuff out of the church before those monks spontaneously got on fire.
At least they say something.
Linda's farm. So, I mean, the Vikings were the hero of the story.
That's right.
They knew they were going to explode the flames.
Yeah. Evidently, by the casting of the runes earlier, they figured out that this was going to take place, and they just saved the treasure.
That sounds like berserker activities, where they take a bunch of mushrooms, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had some.
It was the second sight.
Come to find out.
Whatever that was, I think there's a reason why a lot of people, you know, from the Appalachia area, you know, from what, West Virginia down through Alabama, you had a lot of people who were crazy, was a nice way of saying it, you know.
Hey, no.
The berserker activities were crazy, though.
Yeah.
They would take mushrooms and crush them up in their wine and get sleep deprived on top of it, to the point where they were just barking like they weren't even talking. Yeah. They would just like go in like animals. and just go at it.
Yeah, they finally figured out if they would have got one person consume the mushroom or whatever it was, and then whenever they would urinate, the rest of the berserkers would drink that. They didn't get the sickness from it, but they would still get the crazy berserker effect.
So that was kind of like a human filter.
Yes.
Awesome. That explains a lot, because I've come to find out my family is highly Scottish, to the point to where in Hancock, Tennessee, where Fletchers are from, they have a festival every year where people wear their kilts and they play bagpipes and stuff for the Fletcher family reunion. So being a human filter, I think I would have been a great one back then.
Yeah.
Okay, on that note, we have gone over our time. We were talking about berserkers, Lent.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's our time for tonight. All right, the next 3 weeks we're supposed to have guests, unless something has changed. Next week we're doing DB Cooper.
He's down.
He's coming. All right, great. Yeah. The following week, we're going to talk about manifestation with Zachary Stutzman. He is a 17-year-old young man who just wrote his first book about manifesting. I think that one will be pretty interesting. And then
Did you book him?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Tony, what do you mean? You didn't take care of that? No, I've got that one. I need to send you a new schedule, by the way. You didn't get the one I sent earlier. And then South Africa the following week.
Oh,
if you have ever had any questions about DB Cooper, I strongly suggest tuning in next Friday, because Darren Schaefer
He's been on everything. He's been on huge podcasts. He's been on TV shows. He goes to all these huge DB Cooper conventions. He's a keynote speaker at them. So, I mean, he's like the dude. He knows every molecule. He has a whole podcast dedicated to only DB Cooper.
It's called the Cooper Vortex.
So, he's going to be an encyclopedia of knowledge.
Yeah. Yep. Just load your questions up.
Yeah.
Next week will be a listening session and a question session.
We probably won't get off topic at all.
Probably not.
I'm sure we will.
only if you give us a chance to speak will we get
on. There you go.
All right, guys. We appreciate you being here. And until next time, stay weird.
Shalom, Yerushalayim.